today's edition of Late Night with Deanne, and I'm your host, Deanne Burley, with another lively program with talk subjects that you might not hear on any other program. And I hope you've listened before. And if you want to visit and know my website, it's Deanne Burley at dot, I'm sorry, deanneburley.blogspot.com, or you can write to me at deanneburley@yahoo.com, or you can call me 847-594-1620. Today's program is a subject that's in the press that I want you to be aware of and have knowledge of. It has to do with a book that came out, a very famous book that you should be totally aware, heard of, and maybe have read. It's the Da Vinci Code. This particular book has been hailed by many people as basically a fictional tale that may be based on fact, not fiction. Many believe this fictional tale is but just a fact, and there are clues in the Da Vinci Code that many feel, you know, have given information of Christ, his relationship with Mary Magdalene. It's a very interesting, detailed book, and now there's a controversy going on, and there's some unleft unanswered questions. Has the Catholic Church distorted the real facts of Christ? What about the consul Nice and the first victor of God's Church, who was Constantine, who was both the pagan Caesar of Rome and who also remained as the first pope of the Catholic Church? Basically, on his deathbed, he became the pope of the Catholic Church. The interesting story about Constantine and his consul Nice, they picked and chose the books that they decided to use for the Bible. And because of these factors, you know, it kind of lends into the tale of what should we believe. We have two books that are out. One is the Da Vinci Codes. The second book is a book that came out way before, which was the Holy Blood, Holy Grail. And right now there's a dispute in the court system in regards to the issue of plagiarism. Is there a situation where the author of Da Vinci Codes actually took material from the Holy Book of the Holy Blood, Holy Veil? And we'll talk more about it when we come back after this break.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
Well, we're back, and this is Deanne with the program. I hope you're waiting to hear. This is in regards to the book, Holy Blood, Holy Grail, the plagiarism suit, and the issue of whether or not material was taken from the Da Vinci Code, the Holy Blood, Holy Grail book, to create the book, Da Vinci Code. And we're going to discuss that with our guest. He's a renowned researcher, an excellent researcher, in fact. His name is George Smart. He has a book out where he had looked up and found the facts of the Knights Templar, and we're going to cover that as we talk here. George, are you here?
Yes, hello.
Hi, George. How are you doing?
Just fine.
I had a difficult beginning. As soon as I came on the air, phone rang, and I got thrown off, so forgive me. But I wanted to discuss this issue of the two books,
yes.
The plagiarism suit, and the facts behind the two books. One is Holy Blood, Holy Grail, which came out a long time ago. And then you have the Da Vinci Code, and right now it's in London courts being argued. Do you feel that there is an issue of plagiarism here?
Not at all. In fact, it's highly likely this case is going to be thrown out for a lack of substantial evidence.
Why do you say that?
Well, basically what Michael Bajan and Richard Lee, who are the plaintiffs in this case, they are the authors of Holy Blood, Holy Grail, along with Henry Lincoln. They are claiming an elusive claim, which is that Dan Brown, quote, lifted the architecture, end quote, of their book in order to write the Da Vinci Code, which means essentially that he was working along the same themes. Well, in copyright law, ideas are not protected. Only the form of them is. So for Dan Brown to be guilty, he would have to have lifted exact sentences and paragraphs from their book in order for that claim to be valid.
But have you ever, seen any similarities in the two books, in thought process?
Not really. I mean, you've got to take a look that there's probably been 100 or 200 books written on this exact same subject, about a possible marriage between Jesus and Mary Magdalene and a possible family whose secret would have been kept through the centuries. Dan Brown was certainly not the first to write about this theme. In fact, Bajan and Lee drew from a number of previous books in order to write their book, Holy Blood, Holy Grail, in 1982.
Now, why do you think they brought this to court if they had done the same thing themselves?
Well, it's a very interesting question. I have been reading reports through the news and the Internet trying to answer that question myself. The best theory I have so far is just professional jealousy. Their book has been around for almost 25 years. It did rather well, selling 3 or 4 million copies. But right now, Dan Brown is probably the best-selling adult author in the world. He sold more than 40 million copies. He's the 6th best-paid celebrity on the planet. And he earned something like $75 to $100 million a year.
Wow. So now these two books, they're battling it out in court. Now the third thing in this arena is the fact there's a movie coming out.
Yes, there is, on May 16th or 17th.
Now, the movie is built around the Brown book. Now,
yes.
do you feel that the story in the movie theater will give the book, its due, or do you think it's going to be, a different version?
Well, I haven't seen the previews yet of the movie, but I would guess, because the book is written in a mystery thriller kind of format,
mm-hmm.
that tends to translate pretty well to the big screen. So I expect they'll do a good job.
Now, do you believe that there is a situation where Da Vinci, within his frame of artwork, placed codes within those arts that gave people information of hidden facts of the Catholic Church and Vatican?
Well, there's certainly a lot of circumstantial evidence to that effect, and if anyone would be doing this kind of encoding at the time, it probably would have been someone like Da Vinci. He was certainly one of the most advanced scientific minds of his time, if not the most advanced, and he would have been aware of that kind of thing going on and probably would have wanted to find a way to express it in a way that would A, keep him alive and not be killed by the authorities in part, and B, to keep the knowledge going forward.
And can you explain to the listeners why he would be fearful of his life then? Since he was an incredible artist and a scientist, why would he fear for his life?
Well, in our day and age, we take information for granted. We talk about psychology, for instance. We talk about different scientific theories. It's no big deal. But in Da Vinci's time, ideas that were involved in science and the mind and so forth, which we see as academic now, back then they were very, very controversial. The Vatican had an opinion on everything. And if your body of science, your discoveries contradicted the Church, even if you could prove them, the Church would say you were wrong. And so scientists had a very difficult time existing at that point because they were likely to be suppressed by things if they conflicted by the Church.
So it's very, very plausible that he did place coding in his drawings and artwork for future scientists or future historians to view and have a clue of actually what was going on.
Well, it's possible. I mean, the clues that he would have planted obviously were not apparent to the uninitiated. So the themes of Holy Blood, Holy Grail, and of the Da Vinci Code are about organizations that exist over the centuries, where the information is passed from group to group, from generation to generation, in various forms. And Da Vinci's work, if it truly was an encoding, would have been one of those forms.
Now, do you feel that, the Vatican at that particular time knew of the possibility of these codes? There was a number of, secrets going on, and one of which you wrote this wonderful book in regards to the Knights Templar. Do you think from what you saw from the Knights Templar aspect that there were codes and hidden factors that lay underneath a lot of these discoveries that are coming forth now?
Well, by the time of Da Vinci, the Templars had been officially wiped out. So there probably wasn't a strong direct connection between one and the other.
But you don't think the Templars existed somewhere hidden in the Vatican?
Well, they wouldn't have been hidden in the Vatican. The Vatican was very much against them at the time of their demise. They would have existed underground independently from the Vatican. Although there's certainly the possibility that the Vatican could have taken some of their records in the various raids that were done in the early 1300s. Go ahead.
Oh, well, the only thing I was going to add in is the fact that I would like, you know, you to kind of give a history of the Knights Templar here so people will understand, you know, how they may have been the creators of the banking system and what it was that they were involved with at the Temple Mount back in the 1300s.
Well, sure. The Knights Templars began with nine men who left France in the early 1100s and went to Jerusalem, where they were graciously received by the king of Jerusalem at that time. He set them up in an area of the Temple Mount, which is still there today, called the Stables of Solomon. And it's there that they sort of disappeared for about 9 years. We don't know for sure yet what happened to them. But we do know that 9 years later, they came back to Europe and were heralded as heroes throughout all of Western Europe and also by the Vatican. They were praised by various rulers, by the Pope himself. They seemed to have brought a great deal of wealth with them, and this began the start of the Catholic building program of various cathedrals and convents, Templar preceptories, churches, and the like, which would go on for the next couple of hundred years. The famous cathedrals that we know of now throughout Europe, many of them were built from that time. So the question becomes, what were these knights doing for those 9 years? Now, traditional historians tell us that they were escorting pilgrims. At that time, people would make a pilgrimage from Europe to Jerusalem, much like many Muslims try to make a pilgrimage to Mecca once in their lives. Western Christians would try to go to Jerusalem. It was a very dangerous and arduous journey. Often people died on the way there or the way back. And so traditional historians say that these nine guys protected hundreds, perhaps thousands of pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem, and for that they were honored. This doesn't seem to make much sense, because nine guys can't protect that many pilgrims. And we have no evidence they ever left Jerusalem once they got there. So a theory that's been brought forward by various authors, and certainly Bajan and Lincoln and Lee of Holy Blood, Holy Grail, and also Dan Brown, was that the Templars were there for a specific mission, and that was to dig underneath the Temple of Solomon, attempting to find various artifacts, and probably also the treasure of the Jews, which was hidden there right before the Jews were overrun in 70 AD by the Romans. If they found this treasure, it would have been immense, just an immense treasure that would have more than funded a building program later on. We do not have any direct evidence of that lately, but it's a great theory.
Well, we will return with George Smart after this break, and a really fascinating story about Holy Blood, Holy Grail, Da Vinci Codes, and we're talking now about the Knights Templar when we return.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RVNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The future of health and wellness is here in a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Welcome back to the DN Burley Show, live on RBN Live Radio. Please welcome our guest again, George Smart here. We have a really interesting topic going on, and before the break, I was asking him a question, and this kind of is this, George, what is the Holy Grail? And was the Holy Grail in this area where the Knights Templar were, you know, where they were digging? Is there any facts that there was a Holy Grail ever found?
Well, a Holy Grail typically has been described as a cup, usually linked with Jesus in some way. The cup he used at the Last Supper, the cup he used to hold blood at his crucifixion, various forms. It has also been associated with some level of a mysterious and great power that would come from having the Grail or drinking from the Grail. The cup theory is very prevalent. What emerged, however, was the idea that the Holy Grail was not a physical chalice or cup, if you will, but was more of a metaphor for a woman, specifically Mary Magdalene herself, who would have been carrying within her womb the seed of Jesus. That means his children. And the theory goes that Jesus and Mary Magdalene would have had children together, and those children would have lived and had generation after generation into today. So you've got the cup theory of the Grail, and you've got the Mary Magdalene theory of the Grail.
Now, you had brought a fact up some time ago when I had talked to you before that there is a requirement for most men that were Jewish then to be married.
Well, it was specifically for Jews that were in the house of David. We have to remember Jesus was from a fairly well-to-do family overall. He was direct descendant of King David, and as such, each person in that lineage was expected to marry by a certain time and was expected to have children by a certain time.
Now, Mary also was not from a poor background. Is that not true?
She was not poor. Neither was she a prostitute. Mm-hmm. That was really some bad PR attributed to her by early bishops' councils who wanted to minimize her role in the overall history of the account of Jesus. Mary Magdalene, as far as we know, was a pretty well-to-do woman. She was educated. She was a landowner. She had properties. She was really quite successful, unusually so for a woman of her time. And for her to essentially go on the road with Jesus and the apostles is just testament to her belief and faith in Jesus' doctrine.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you feel that it's a possibility that there were children?
Well, again, this is very hard to know because we don't have any contemporary accounts. We can theorize because of the Davidic succession and the requirements for marriage that Mary Magdalene would be the logical person. In fact, there's an Australian researcher named Barbara Thiering who, using various techniques, has actually synchronized a timeline between the Davidic succession rules and what happens in the Bible, to the extent that the wedding at Cana, which is a famous story everyone knows, would be actually the wedding between Mary Magdalene and Jesus, not just some random wedding Jesus happened to be at.
Now, I want you, if you wouldn't mind, to tell the listeners about your book and how they can get a copy of it. And we're going to take listeners that may have questions. If you have questions for Mr. Smart, please call in at 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. George, you want to tell the listeners about your book. The reason I had seen George was he was on the History Channel. It was a marvelous production. It showed the history of the Knights Templar. I thought it was a beautiful job done and a wonderful book he has. George, you want to give your information here?
Sure. This is essentially a reference book. This will tell the reader year by year, sometimes month by month, everything that happens to the Knights Templar between the days before the official creation of their order, when the first crusades were going on through Europe, until a number of years after their official demise, where you see Templar forces spread out, some captured, some killed, many adopted into other orders as the whole organization really fell apart around 1307 to 1314. It's a great book for people that want to get all the facts, and there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of facts in this book they can buy through Amazon.com or their local bookstore.
Now, are you going to come out with another book?
Well, I hope so. I am looking for a new publisher for the next one, and if anybody's listening out there, please give me a call.
And the next book, will it be about the Knights Templar, or will you be covering another area?
Yes, the next book will be an even expanded version of this particular chronology. I have added 120% new material since this book was written.
And the thing that's really fascinating is, we're going to a commercial, but we'll be back with George Smart. And if you want to call in, we're taking listeners at 800-313-9443. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
Well, we're back, and this is Deanne with Late Night with Deanne. And we have George Smart, a gentleman that's here, talking about the history of the Knights Templar. George, I have another question to ask you, and we have a caller
sure.
has a question for you. Now, in this mix of things with the Holy Grail and the thing with Mary, there's a question of the descent of that particular family line of Christ being tied right back to King David. Now, wouldn't there be other descendants alive today that would be of that same bloodline?
Oh, yes, indeed. In fact, it's an author named Lawrence Gardner in the United Kingdom who's written several books on that subject. He traces the lineage all the way forward.
And what is there like a surname that we could maybe hear that we would know? Is it royal family lineage or you know?
No, not at all. I mean, there are probably a dozen or two dozen different surnames that would have come out over the centuries, and of course, with different nationalities and countries and things changing over the last 2,000 years, it wouldn't just be one name.
So there are descendants from King David, bloodline, that would be across into the bloodline of Christ himself that
right.
are alive today.
Well, we know definitely it went through Jesus, and if you believe the theory with Mary Magdalene, it would certainly have crossed over into our millennium.
Wow, that's really amazing. We have a listener in Arkansas.
Okay.
Listener, are you there?
Actually, in
Kentucky. In Kentucky, I'm sorry.
Hi. Dark and bloody ground, as it's known to some.
Okay.
I think this is a great unspoken thing in a lot of people's faith. What happened to his half-siblings? What happened to Joseph of Arimathea. You know, people don't investigate that very much. And, you know, every now and then you get sporadic little pieces of it here and there. But one of the things that somebody told me about 15 years ago, and I was scratching my head, you know, gee, you know, if you don't understand Jewish culture of the day, you might be missing out on a few things about the story. And traditionally, the wine at a wedding was supposed to be the chore of the bridegroom or the husband. So that's why Mary came to Jesus and said, hey, we're out of wine, guy. And so there was nothing to do but change that water into wine. I mean, I don't know why he is, he says to her, you know, why are you bothering me with this? You know, why would he say that if it was his responsibility?
So your question is?
Yeah, that's my question. You know, I've heard this thing before that wedding was actually his wedding. And where do you research these cultural traditions that people say this is a veiled or hidden Jewish cultural thing, and this, you know, this is a clue? You know, where do you find writings about the Jewish culture of that day that would say one way or other whether that's true, that it's the traditional chore of the bridegroom at a wedding to provide for the wine?
Well, yeah. Fortunately, synagogues and then later Hebrew universities and other sources were quite good at preserving some of these ancient texts, which researchers can go and look at the various Davidic rules regarding succession and regarding the role of men and women at various ceremonies. So we have a pretty good fix on what was expected of people at the time. The question just becomes on whether or not you believe that Mary Magdalene was actually a participant in this wedding along with Jesus, or just an observer. The traditional Catholic account would be that Jesus and Mary Magdalene just happened to be there, and the parties that were getting married are unnamed. But it seems to make a lot more sense that it was theirs than just to be some, random occurrence.
Well, and I think the scripture is pretty plain that, and I believe it, you know, in a red letter edition, you can find where he said, not one jot or tittle will pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Now, would that be the traditional rabbinical law of the day? And if his mother knew who he was, or his family knew who he was because of all the manifestations and the signs, would they apply the traditional rabbinical laws to him, knowing who he was? I mean,
well, see, that's another question, too, about, you know, sort of the recognition of Jesus. We don't have a lot of evidence that people at the time saw him as much of a god as they recognized him as just a very wise person.
Well, his immediate family had to know. Joseph had to know. The angel came to him.
Well,
I mean, you know, if you believe the scriptures, if you believe the story, Elizabeth's baby leapt in the womb when she was with John the Baptist with child. They knew, you know, the scripture says that they apparently knew that they were both bearing children with divine ordination.
Right. The scriptures do say that indeed, and we have to keep in mind that the scriptures, as far as we can tell, were written probably 40 to 70 years after Jesus' crucifixion. So we don't really know yet who wrote those scriptures and what source they came from.
Well, I think there would have been a huge outcry from a lot of the congregations of the day if the scriptures weren't accurate, don't you?
Well,
I mean, we're talking about people whose parents witnessed these events. So they would have handed down the oral stories. And if the scriptures were deviating from what Grandpa told me, that's not what Grandpa told me. These guys are trying to distort what happened.
Well, you're absolutely right. If there's an unbroken chain of events from what happened at the time of Jesus to the time of the scriptures, that's absolutely true.
Now, there's a question I want to raise here. the Council of Nice, the situation with Pope Constantine, who was both a Roman emperor at the same time.
A sun worshiper who also demanded that he be worshipped himself as a false god.
Right, but the thing is that during the council, they chose what was going to be used as the theme of the church, with scrolls, with documents would be used. And this is where the situation of the actual the stories you're talking about are housed, I would say. Isn't there a lot of facts within those books of the Council of Nice that would shed light on this, George, would you say?
Well, the Council of Nicaea happened on or about May 20th in the year 325.
Way after those books were written.
Yeah, Emperor Constantine, who was definitely on a big ego trip at the time, was worshipped by various people and was also concerned that perhaps there was a greater God. And towards the end of his life, he started turning towards adopting a more orthodox form of Christianity. And he started this mission by condemning various factions of Christianity, Arianism, reincarnation theories, things like that.
And I'm sure the people that followed the relatives of the family of Jesus, which, from what I understand, there's historical accounts of the Roman Catholic Church trying to eliminate anybody that was considered a direct descendant from the family of Jesus because it was in competition with their claim of authority.
It very much was. Remember, the architects of the church were Peter and Paul, and the rock upon which we built the Catholic Church. And they were building an organization. And what we have to keep in mind is that an organization often functions very differently than the person it is based around. Organizations have to grow at a rapid rate. They need an extraordinary amount of money and influence to survive, and often ideals get sacrificed.
And becomes a creature. I wonder if that's the kind of a parabolic meaning for the beast. It becomes a kind of a creature with its own character that may not be the original intent.
Well, we experience this today in our own modern life between working for a small company of, say, 100 people and working for a company of 100,000 people. The corporations that we see that are very large are often making huge negative decisions that affect hundreds and hundreds of people just because of their need to be large corporations.
Well, I hope that answers your question.
No, yeah. Thanks for taking my call. I look at things like from both the preterist view and a parabolic view because I think whether or not the preterists are right, we can apply these concepts to our life today.
Did you ever read the book Da Vinci Code?
No, I've been listening to a lot of the fervor over it, and I don't understand why he's really getting sued because those ideas have been being kicked around for decades. I guess there's some similarity to his basic premises to some work of supposed nonfiction in the early 80s, but I don't really understand why he's getting sued because there's been so many people talking about the idea that Jesus was married and what happened to his the rest of his family, you know.
There's another more economic reason that I've seen in the press recently, and that is the translation of Da Vinci Code into a movie pretty much eliminates Holy Blood, Holy Grail ever become a movie on its own.
I see.
And by stirring up controversy, you increase the publicity and the interest in the movie.
Right.
So it may be by design.
Well, thanks for taking
my call.
Well, thank you very much. And I have another question for you, George.
Yes.
The situation with the movie that's coming out. Now, I had tried to get Ron Howard on, and he wasn't available. But, why did they never make a book on the Holy Blood, Holy Grail story?
Well, it's one of those things. The Holy Blood, Holy Grail was a very successful book.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a nonfiction book. It was an investigative piece. And for a movie to be made based on a nonfiction work would have just been tremendously controversial, too controversial. However, for some reason, we human beings are much more accepting of a story when it's fiction than if it's nonfiction.
So. You're right about that.
We don't get nearly as riled up about it.
I have a call from Texas. Caller, you have a question?
Hi. Yeah, my question is about the Templars and the European banking establishment. I'll hang up and listen. My understanding was that it was mostly Venice and Venetian banks that that were most of the European establishment and banking from the 1200s. I know Venice was famous for having sort of a rivalrous relationship with the Vatican through much of that time. I was wondering, well, what side you thought the Templars would be in that equation. Were they more like the Venetian establishment, or were they the Vatican's equivalent of the Venetian establishment, or were they established prior to the Venetian banking establishement? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
All right.
Thank you, caller.
The Templar banking system was definitely established before the Venetians came into power. And in fact, the demise of the Templars really helped the Venetians in their quest for economic power. I mean, they were already developing as one of the great navies and merchant marines of the area, and for hundreds of years, various sides were working deals with the Venetians in order to carry on their various raids and conquests and opening up shipping lanes and the like. But the Templars were definitely first. And
the thing is, too, later on in history, you had this situation that occurred within this century, the thing that happened with the Solar Templars. Were they some type of way connected at all with the Knights Templar? There were rumors that they were.
The Solar Templars?
Yes.
I'm not familiar with them, Deanne.
Okay, they were a group of individuals that claimed that they were tied to the Knights Templar. And they, within the last, I would say, 10 years, were basically found dead. And some people think that it could have been murder. They're not sure. The last ones were in Canada. I think it was a number of, like, 9 individuals they found in a chalet or something in Canada, dead. And I thought maybe you knew something about it.
Are you saying recently?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. There are a whole bunch of Neo-Templar orders that have been formed in the last 100 to 150 years.
Okay, but they're not directly descended from the Knights, you would say.
Well, they all claim it, but none of them has ever stepped forward and actually demonstrated a link to the Templars.
Now we have another caller.
Sure.
Alex?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Okay.
Good.
How are you?
Yeah, I've been to the big Templar cathedral in London. Sir, are you saying that's not a Templar, a real Templar organization?
Oh, no. The big Templar Preceptory in London has been there for hundreds of years. It's definitely genuine.
Well, I'll tell you, the enemies of the American people, the enemies of freedom, link directly back to the Templars. I know on Friday the 13th, a bunch of them got killed. I understand the Catholic Church went after them. But you've got one elite just going after another. And the whole attempted overthrow of the European kings, 1776, Adam Weishaupt, all of that was manipulation by the Illuminati. They tried to hijack the American Revolution, which they even helped kickstart, but God uses things against them, and they got away from them. But I got to tell you, there is I've checked into this whole Priory of Zion thing, and the Queen of England claims that she is a descendant of David, and she claims she's part of the whole Merovingian bloodline. She's sworn in on Abraham's stone. So, I mean, this stuff's all opposite to what the Bible's saying, claiming the whole goddess. It's just goddess worship, and that's what the Bohemian Grove crowd worships. That's what all the pagans worship, the horn out of the woods and then the goddess of fertility. So, I mean, that's all this really is goddess worship coming back. I mean, is it not?
You've wandered off into a bunch of whole different topics I'm not familiar with, sir, but I have to take your word for it.
Well, I mean, we're here talking about the Knights Templars. They were goddess worshippers. That's what all this chalice business is. It's womb worship. So, that's what's going on. That's why they're making all these movies.
Well, I thank you, listener, and we are getting close to another commercial, so we're going to come back. And thank you, listener, for your question and comment. And we'll be back with George Smart after this break.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The future of health and wellness is here in a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Well, we're back after this last break and few minutes of the program, and we're with my guest, George Smart, a wonderful man, great researcher, historian. I just hope he gets another book out real soon.
Thank you, Dan.
I just wanted to ask you a question. The last caller said something that I wanted to make a little statement about this thing with goddess. It was in the time, biblical times, I would say, that the god system then was like more proactive towards males than women.
Yes.
And for people to launch into the thing because of the Holy Grail and this, that, and the other, to push it into a goddess issue, I think is wrong. It was a fear of women being too powerful. Is that not right?
Well, and it also was a significant shift in how people behave towards each other.
I mean, when we say a goddess culture, we're essentially saying a culture that honors qualities typically associated with women. Mm-hmm. These would be qualities that most people would like tolerance, forgiveness, peaceful activities, peaceful commerce, things like that. These are not things that are necessarily bad, but they've kind of gotten a bad rap as people have associated them with something very negative.
And back then, it was very negative. The women had roles, but in the Judea faith, women had a little bit more rights than most then. Is that not correct?
They certainly had more rights compared to other cultures at the time.
Well, you know, this is fascinating, great subject. I want to have you back on again because there's a lot more that needs to be covered because, like, you know, the Chronicles go from one time frame to the next, and there's a lot of major events that happen during those time frames that, you know, you got to read in between the lines. And I know you have most of the facts because of the amounts of research you put forth in, you know, your work.
Wonderful. Well, I'd love to come back and talk with you.
Well, I thank you, and we'll be back on again on this subject. And you want to mention one more time here where the listeners can get your book.
Yes, the book is called The Knights Templar Chronology by George Smart, and it's available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com or your local bookstore.
Well, I thank you very much for coming on and sharing. And this was George Smart, wonderful man. And I hope and pray they rerun that History Channel piece, because if you see it, you'll understand exactly where I'm coming from. They went into great detail explaining the Knights Templar, and they went into the Da Vinci Code, and I think it gave a lot of information there. Oh, by the way, George, are you still here?
Yes.
I've got one other question, too. Why was it that people in the Vatican, cardinals in Chicago, in fact, all of them denouncing the book, Da Vinci Code book, why was it so important for them to come forth and say that it was fake and, you know, no truth to the story?
Because the Catholic Church has denounced anything that runs counter to the traditional story. They're just doing their job.
Well, thank you, George, and I hope to have you back on again soon.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. And this concludes our first hour, and we're moving into the second. It should be more lively talk here. This is Deanne, Late Night with Deanne, live and RBN Live Radio. We'll be right back.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.